She volunteered as our prayer coordinator for the Hawaii Conference and also served as secretary to the president of Castle Medical Center, the president, Kevin Roberts. And she is happily, I'm pretty sure, happily married to Rod. Rod is not here with us today because they are both leaders of a youth at Kanyuhi Church. And they are blessed with three children, Jenna, Jade, and Jesse. Jesse is currently pastoring our Waimanalo Church and our youth director at the Hawaii Conference. And they are blessed with grandchildren. They have two grandsons. I think it's
Isaiah
and Noah. And about a week ago, they are blessed with a granddaughter, Leah Angel. Well, this is Michelle Seibel.
Thank you, Phoebe. Well, that was a lot. That's like introducing you to your own family at the dinner table. I feel like I've already had more church than I could ask for or even imagine this morning, family. Church doesn't get any better than what I've already experienced here at Wahiwa. Beautiful, beautiful. I want to thank Maddie this morning. Church doesn't get any better than that, family. And when you can stand up and say, you know what? I need to ask forgiveness this morning. Did anybody catch that? Because I want to say a resounding hallelujah to that, Maddie. That's the Holy Spirit's work in our heart. And to stand up, she could have told her children that on the way home. But you see, God allows us to be partakers of His divine nature so that you and I can love one another. Amen? Amen. And I want to thank Jazz this morning. I want to thank her. I don't know Jazz or Maddie. But I want to thank them for changing my life this morning, for helping me to see a bigger picture of Jesus, for helping us to see a real God for real brokenness. And my family in Wahiwa, at the Wahiwa Seventh-day Adventist Christian Church, if we don't need a real God on May 17 in the year 2008, then we're in real trouble. We need a real God today. A real broken God for real brokenness. That's what we need today. It's time for you and me who are family here this morning. Family. And why I love to come here. My grandmother lived here over 50 years, Helen Garcia. Sat in this church. I visited her as a young child. At one time, my grandfather went to this church. They're both sleeping now. Hallelujah in Jesus Christ. But when I drive to Wahiwa, I remember my grandparents. I remember that Grandma walked across that bridge to the botanical gardens. Grandma was busy here serving, baking the communion bread. She was a part of this family. And because she is gone doesn't make us any more or less family, because our family-ness is based on Jesus Christ and the blood that He bought us with at the cross of Calvary. And it's so good for me to come here and see my family, because nobody in Wahiwa ever drives to Waimanalo, Kailua, and Kaneohe, and we don't drive over here. It's just too far. How sad is that? And we live on a little island in the middle of nowhere. Family, this morning I'm excited to tell you we have a real God. A real God who loves us so faithfully and unfailingly, that you and I today, we who are called His disciples, men, women, children, I know I'm invited here this morning because of women's ministries and prayer ministry, but the message this morning that God puts on my heart is not just about prayer or about women, it's about Christ. Christ Jesus, who overrides all of that humanity, you see, this morning. Phoebe is right. a week ago, less than a week, tomorrow will be 1 week, our granddaughter was born. This is Jesse and Shohai's second baby. Leah. Do you know what Leah means? It's Hebrew for God belongs to me. I love that. And in fact, Jesse clued me in last night. He said, Mom, it's really the feminine of Elijah without the E. Leah. See? Leah. Yahweh. Yahweh belongs to me. That's radical theology. And this morning, family, I want you to know that Yahweh belongs to me and to you. He belongs to us. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, and you also are called to belong to Jesus Christ. If we can grasp that simple, radical theology, you see, Jesus would tell us next, because there's always more with Jesus, and I belong to you. He belongs to me and you. That's awesome. In the year 2008, when this whole world is falling apart, God belongs to me and you. Praise God for Jesus Christ this morning. Praise God for the power of the Holy Spirit that moves us to stand and testify, that moves us and stand to ask forgiveness, that moves us out of our small, thinking, mean-spirited, little loving me, moves us to the throne of grace so that we can be instruments of influence in this dying world. And what Jesus needs today, family, he needs staying disciples today. Amen. He needs staying disciples today. This morning, let's pray. Beloved Father, we need you so much. Praise God for Jesus Christ, you are here. Beloved Father, we need all of your presence, all of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you must be our teacher and maximize our time. We are your family, Father, not because of who we are, but because of what Christ has done at the cross of Calvary. And we cannot be moved from our Jesus this morning. Lord, let no enemy rob your sons and daughters of Jesus Christ this morning. Father, thank you. Church doesn't get any better than this. And we praise you for your Holy Spirit power to move in our hearts so that truly, Lord, the world will know we are your disciples because we love one another. In the strong name of our Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. You see, family, staying disciples, and I'm sure you feel that stain this morning, the stain of sin in our lives. If you're like me, you have come through a long week. It could have been good or bad. It could have been both good and bad. But we're tired. We come to the end of this week. We come to church. How many of you are tired? It's why Maddie gets a little impatient with her children. How many of you are tired and felt like snapping at somebody this morning, you see? Because God doesn't just see the Maddie that does snap. He sees all the potential to snap, you see. It's in our DNA. It's in our very fiber. It's in our being. And yet God has called us to be stained disciples. And so we're not looking at the stain of sin this morning, which we are born into and which we cannot escape. Do you understand that, family? There is no escape from the stain of sin. We are born sinners. It's who we are. And yet God has promised us in Christ that that stain of sin can be overcome by the stain of grace. Amen, family? And so when we're looking at stained discipleship this morning, we're looking at the stain of God's grace that overcomes that stain of sin. It's what every man, woman, and child needs today in the year 2008. And if the church of Jesus Christ, if the Seventh-day Adventist Christian Church could grasp this good news and hold out the word of life to a dying world, our churches would be transformed, turned upside down. Because this is good news to a dying world, family. It's good news. It's not the church playing church. It's a real church who has a real God. It's the Seventh-day Adventist Christian Church this morning. When you think of the word stain, what do you think of? What do you think of this morning? Anybody had a stain? What, Sheila? Blotted. Anyone else? Stain. Come on, family. Stain. You all know what a stain is. I'm sorry? A mess. Amen. Blotted, a mess. What else? Mommies here, you ever try to get a stain out of those church clothes? And although I would say probably 50% of television focuses on laundry detergent that can remove every and any stain, is it true? No. It's not true like most of television. It's not true. Because stain has another word besides blotted and mess. It's permanent, isn't it? And yet, family, today, the stain of grace holds that same permanence in our lives. The stain of grace can override the stain of sin. If you look at your Bibles now, and I want you to stay in Hebrews chapter 9. We're looking at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see, Maddie lived this scripture this morning because Jesus knows always that we can use a bigger picture of who he is. I tell you, if you missed it, I'm going to tell you how Maddie lived this scripture. In her heart, the Holy Spirit is speaking, Maddie, you're on the platform. You're looking good. You have a job to do up here. Praise the Lord. She said, yes. That's half the battle. Somebody say yes when the pastor asks you to do something. Somebody say yes when the first elder asks you to do something. Somebody say yes to Jesus Christ. And yet Maddie's standing up here representing Jesus Christ. And she knows in her heart, and I don't know if she knows the scripture or not, that unless she makes this apology, it's a dead works, you see. It's a dead works. And somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit pierced through all that fear and shame and sorrow and pain. And Maddie says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell them because she belongs to Jesus Christ. Oh, much more, Jesus belongs to you, Maddie. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Family, this is what God is all about. And it's only through the blood of Jesus that you and I can experience this. Because Hebrews 9, 11 to 14, and we're going to back up to a few more verses. But Christ being come and high priest of good things, to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Do you see what Paul is setting us up for? We talked about it in Sabbath school class. This is no ordinary man. Okay, family? This is 100% man and 100% God. And yet he's no ordinary human being. He's God. And therefore, we must rid ourselves of all bulls and goats this morning. And you and I who are so far removed from the time of Jesus, and we read these things and we don't realize right in our midst we hold on to bulls and goats. We hold on to any man-made salvation, anything that will make us feel better about ourselves, anything that will make us feel like we measure up or good. And yet the Bible never promises God's people goodness. He says, behold, I make all things new. Newness of heart. He's got to get to the stain, you see. And he's going to come into that stain with his own staining blood that is permanent. A stain of grace that overrides that stain of sin. and allows you and me to persevere with God in the year 2008. So we're not just in church to look good or to be good. We're in church for the living God, you see. Because there's a living God who has promised to transfuse us with His blood, to transform us with His blood. Family, this is good news for our dying world. Because if our world needs something, it needs a blood transfusion today. It needs a new life, a new heart. Why cannot we, the Church of Jesus Christ, children of God, hold out that pure word for this dying world? Because in Jesus' blood, and we're going to look at three things this morning, we're going to find forgiveness, we're going to find family, and we're going to find a future. And in this world, people are clamoring for forgiveness. Their behavior reveals that. They act out in all kinds of behavior because they carry the stain of sin. It's in their DNA, you see. Praise God, hallelujah, for a God who overrides our DNA. Amen. With the DNA of God Himself, you see. We belong to that living God. Much more, family. He belongs to me and He belongs to you. I remember going to the women's prison. I was actually in the women's prison this morning at 7 o'clock in Kailua. Years and years I drove past that prison. I knew that was a prison. But you see, God is in that place. And I never thought about God being in that place. And that's why I know God put me in that place, so I could think about how awesome and powerful and mighty and holy is His love for people who are not like me. What did we call them this morning, brother? That Jesus hung out with the undesirable. And years ago, when I first went into the women's prison, the chaplain had contacted me. I'd gotten to know her when we were praying for her own daughter. And she said, "Michelle, come in and teach a class on prayer." Teach a class on prayer? And you know, when I went to Jesus, He said, "Michelle, you don't teach prayer. You teach Christ. He is the life of prayer. There is a life that ever lives to pray for you and these women. And anyway, you're not teaching them anything. You go and you learn from them. You learn from them. You see my mighty stain of grace in their lives." And I tell you, family, over the past 6+ years, I have experienced the Holy Spirit power to transform a life, my life, and my sister's. And that first class day, I remember there's a room about 15+ women. I had to try to keep my eyes from being big because I was so stunned at what I saw and heard. I was born and raised in the Seventh-day Adventist Christian Church. Praise God. What a blessing. What a snare. What a snare. Because most of my life I had made my Seventh-day Adventist Christian experience a culture. You see, I was born into a culture. And unless I have a real God who needs to forgive a real girl, then I am nothing but a professional Christian. And Jesus doesn't need professional Christians, family. He needs real people to get up and say, "Forgive me. I am forgiven. Forgive me." And I remember going that morning to bring the woman, the great I Am. I was struggling with that name. I Am. And so I said to the women, "I want to tell you about the great I Am." And someone laughed. And the laughter was mocking and coarse. And family, the enemy is waiting, roaring around like a lion waiting. And he pounced on that mocking laughter. And the enemy began to move into the room. And you could feel the presence of that liar. And I said, "Why are you laughing? Praise God for the stain of grace that overrides the stain of sin. Why are you laughing?" And she said, "You said, 'I am, I am.' All I can think of is, 'I am Sam, green eggs and ham.'" And the women began to laugh with her. And I stood there thinking, "Lord, that's all she can think of." And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart And he comes, family, so strong and sure by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because I tell you, when we receive the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the blood of Jesus Christ. And I said, oh, but he is not Sam. He is not green eggs and ham. And the women began to grow quiet. I said, what do you need? My sister's here. What do you need today? And from the back of the room, a sister cried, I need my family. Then the great I am would say, I am your family. And from my left, another one shouted, I need to go home. Then the great I am would say, I am your home. And the women put their heads down and sobbed. And the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, you see. Because I am belongs to me. I am belongs to you. Oh, much more, we belong to him. And he desires to take us, his people. Because he knows us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knows who we are. He says, Michelle Seibel, be very careful. You don't know where these women have come from. You don't know their past. You don't know their pain. Be careful. These are my beloved. I love them. I died for them. My blood covers them because it's all they know. Now you hold out the word of life. You give them a bigger picture of Jesus Christ because it's Christ and him crucified. Oh, much more resurrected. Much more he ever lives to pray. Family, it's Jesus. The blood of Jesus purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Dead works, family, all the cultural stuff, all the professional stuff, all the I'm going to look good stuff, all the let me tell them something that they don't know and use the word of God like a spear and a dagger to their hearts. So he has to reclaim them and it's twice as hard. The blood of Jesus cleanses our consciences from dead works and he forgives. He forgives me, he forgives these, he forgives you, he forgives family today. So that you and I know that God's kingdom, Revelation 7:17, is foundationally based on that one word, forgiveness. Do you know what Revelation 7:17 says? And the Lamb at the center of God's throne will be their shepherd. Central to God's kingdom, plans, and purposes is a lamb. Not a Sabbath. Not a tithe. But a lamb. Central to God's kingdom, plans, and purposes is the lamb at the center of that throne. And do you know what God tells us? He says, he will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water and God will wipe every tear away from their eye. He'll cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ. Why, family, today? Because there's forgiveness in that life. Forgiveness that connects us. Do you know what God has done when he forgave us? He connects us to the living God. We were separated through sin. We're connected. He covers us. Do you know what Jesus does for you and me every day, 24/7? He covers us with his life. You think you've had a bad day? Wait till playback time in heaven and we see it could have been a very bad day. See, family? He covers us. You know, the young people, they say, Auntie Michelle, he's got our back. That's it. He's got your back. He's got my back. He's covering us every day with that blood. And then that precious blood of Jesus cleanses us. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what this means, Maddie? Next time, she'll be slower to snap. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Next time, she might not even snap. Praise God for Jesus Christ. And the whole time she'll say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because I used to snap, but I don't snap because I'm cleansed. He cleanses us from all that unrighteousness, all the part of us nobody can see. You see, we like prisons. Family, are you listening to me? Because in prison, at least you can tell everybody what they did. Do you know that's the number one rule in prison when we go to prison training? Do not ask them why they're there. Do you know that the women don't even know why each other are there? You know why? Because if they did, then they could say, well, I didn't do that. My thing wasn't so bad. Well, that's way worse than me. Do you see the DNA of sin, family? Well, what they did is really bad, and I'm just not that bad. And God says, man looketh at the outside, but I look at the heart, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. He wants you and me to know that he made Christ who knew no sin to be sin for Michelle Seibel, that she might be called the righteousness of God. But it takes a sin man. It takes a real God who gave his real blood. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he gave his real blood so that you and I could be real men and women in the year 2008, could be really broken men and women, you see, family. Because he cleanses us, and then he compels us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, Christ's love compels us. What moves you to come to church? What moves you to serve in church? What moves you, family, today? If it's not Jesus Christ, then stop everything and think again. It's got to be Christ, or else we're not going to be moved into the kingdom of eternal life. We cannot be moved without Christ. We will become hard-hearted, resistant, reluctant, the worst, resigned. How many of you are married here? Who likes to be married for years and years and know their partner is resigned to the marriage? Heaven help us, family. Why then are we resigned to this connection that Jesus Christ has bought for us? Oh, much more, he has not only bought us at a great price, he brought us with his own blood to the very throne room of grace. He didn't pay for us only, family. He ever lives to pray for us so that every day, as Jazz said, she's learning, it's a lifetime work. It's not over till it's over. And then, family, most of all, he consumes us by that blood. Forgiveness consumes us so that you and I today can receive forgiveness every day. How often are we going to have to receive forgiveness, family? Every day. Every single day. Perhaps many times a day. Every day. I am so thankful. I have a God that I can run to and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me for wounding you. Because every time we hurt someone here, we wound Jesus Christ. But praise God for a God who receives us, who loves us and cares for us all through the days of our lives. That he can do that total blood transfusion work so we are transformed. The good news about Jesus is we can come just as we are, but he'll never leave us the same. Family, that's good news for you and me today. Because who wants to be the same? I don't want to be the same. And so I'm thankful for a real God, for a really broken girl. He says, I am your forgiveness. My life is in his blood this morning. Family, do we understand that? Let's turn to Hebrews 9, 22 to 28. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Paul continues this. I urge you sometime to read the book of Hebrew. Read it in conjunction with Leviticus. Look at what God is doing. Leviticus 17:11. The life is in the blood, he tells Moses. The life is in the blood. What is he talking about? They're sacrificing animals. He says the life is in the blood. Was that what it was about? It was about the Lamb of God that was going to come and take away the sins of the world. And yet today we have forgotten the Lamb of God stands for you and me today. So we spend much of our time giving good ideas and good advice, and we miss the good news. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the sin of the church, so that you and I can be instruments of influence, not only in our church, but in our dying world. And so he says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things, this is verse 23, in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Hallelujah! Anybody have a hallelujah out there? If we understood this fully, family, we'd be doing cartwheels around this church. Christ appearing in the presence of God for you and me. We cannot stand in the presence of God, but Christ appears for us. Praise God for Jesus Christ this morning. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Do you know why God appears for us? Do you know why Christ does that, family? Because his blood has made us family. If he has forgiven us this morning, surely we are called the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And as sons and daughters, we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa. The intimacy of knowing our beloved God and knowing what he's done for us drives us, compels us to that throne of grace every day, and we find Christ. And he's a great high priest, Hebrew tells us, who's able to meet our needs. Family, today we're family. We're family. Do you know what that means for you and me today? That means God's lap is big enough for the world. We don't have to push each other off the lap of God. We don't have to kick one another off. We're God's family. His blood has made us family. So that my family is in his blood. Do you understand what that means? If my life is in his blood, my family's life is in his blood. How many of you are praying here for family? And I'm not just talking about blood relatives. I'm talking about people, neighbors. I'm talking about work co-workers. I'm talking about humanity that Jesus died for this morning. And how many of us have been praying for a long time? And we don't see with these eyes anything happening. And yet if we knew that our family's life is in the blood of Jesus Christ, we have every abiding joy in our heart. We can join Jesus at the throne of grace. Instead of being an accuser, we can praise him, you see. We can praise him for what we don't see. We can praise him for prayers that are not yet answered, but that he is faithful to answer. Because before we called upon him, while we were yet speaking, he answered us. Because he's able to tell us, call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things you don't know. Family, we are family this morning. And so you and I can give our family to the great God family, our Father, his Son, the Spirit of our Lord and Savior. What have we to fear? What are we anxious about? You see, there's nothing like being fearful when you realize it's going to have something to do with your children. Amen? Oh, I'll tell you, there's something worse when you think something's going to happen to your grandchildren. It just gets worse. Because you want those lives well and whole. You want them safe in the kingdom of God. And yet if we don't give our children over to the blood of Jesus, family, then the enemy will be at our back every second telling us those people are lost, driving us to despair. We must fix our eyes on Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yes, every man, woman, and child has a free will. But do you know what God is doing by the will of Jesus Christ? The power of the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit's power at work in this world. He's doing what man says is impossible. All things are possible with Jesus Christ. And God is triumphant at the throne of grace. I remember when Jesse was first a teenager, and he would tell me, Mom, if it is true that the church loves kids, then why don't they show it? What am I supposed to say? Except I know that I am the church. And my son is talking to me. We cannot remove ourselves from the church family. We are the church. And I said, Jesse, Mom is the church. Mom is the church. If I have in any way wounded you, forgive me. And you are the church. If you don't see your church doing something, then you do it. If they don't love, then you love, Jesse, because you're the church. We are the church family. And we must give our family members, blood relatives, neighbors, co-workers, church family members into the hands of Jesus Christ. Because he's not finished with us yet. There's a great work to do. Years later, Jesse went off to Micronesia to be a student missionary. Teacher, there on the little island of Koshai. It was life transforming. There, the Lord gave him a blood transfusion. Why? Because he came face to face, not with his grandmother's God, not with his mother's God, but for a real God, for a really broken Jesse, you see. And we could see this happening in his emails. But I remember the day he was leaving. I had prayed, God, transform my son's heart, explode my son's heart, because I don't know if he has 28 years to stop playing church like you gave me. I don't know if we have 28 years, Lord. Don't let my children do as their mother did. Let my children know a real and living God. Amen. That is the answer to all of life's questions. And yet when the time came for him to go to Micronesia, and I knew that was the answer to my prayer, I trembled in my shoes. But Lord, does it have to be way over there? Can't you do that blood transfusion work here? We always want to know and do a better way than God. And I remember leaving the airplane concourse as the plane was taking off. That day, my husband was in Brazil, 18 hours up the Amazon River building a church. My oldest daughter was co-portering on the Big Island to raise money for her tuition. And I had Jenna at that time by my side. She was 10 years old. And I left walking there praying to God because I knew my son was on that plane and going far away from his mother's reach. Reach of help, reach of comfort, reach of assistance. Oh, but Michelle, don't forget, he can never, never be too far from the reach of God. You see. And I said to the Lord, Lord, we are the fractured family. We are the fractured family. And he said, Michelle, better to be fractured in my hand than broken in this world. You walk with me today. Amen. And I said, Lord, that's my son. My son. And the Lord said to my heart, Michelle, I said that. I said that one Friday. I cried out, my son, and nobody heard me. Now you never forget this. My son for your son. walk with me today. Praise God for Jesus Christ, family. Praise God for a living God that covers our families. Because His blood has brought us forgiveness. It has made us family this morning. So that you and I can be good family members. Oh, much more new family members. We're new creatures, you see. We can reach out. We can ask forgiveness. We can receive forgiveness. We can do it all over again tomorrow. We can do it until Jesus comes and there's no need to do it anymore. Amen. And then lastly, number three. Jesus tells us that His blood brings us a future. Praise God for Jesus Christ. The future looks quite dismal for planet Earth today. In all my years as a child growing up on Oahu, I have never seen fog like this. Anybody can echo that here who has been born and raised in the islands? Never. And yet is it symbolic of the darkness that covers this earth? Isaiah tells us deep darkness. Or it could be like waking up in Southern California on any day. Except we're not Southern California. We're Hawaii. Islands in the middle of the sea, a crossroads for the world, 4 to 6 million visitors a year. We live in a unique place. We are in a unique situation to change the future of humanity, family, because we should not be alive. We are little rocks floating in the middle of nowhere. And yet God preserves us and He perseveres in our lives because He's our future. The blood of Jesus has bought a future for us, a future of hope, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, family, today. God is alive and well. And though the darkness is deep and thick, the darkness cannot overcome the light. It cannot. The blood of Jesus has sealed us in a future that moves from today. Our future begins now, this very moment, until eternity, when you and I can walk with Jesus, not only here on this earth, but through all eternity in the new kingdom, and then on the new earth. It's a future that Jesus has bought with His blood. So therefore, my family, my church's future is in the blood of Jesus. I hear it all the time. Oh, if it were only for the good old days of the Seventh-day Adventist Christian Church. Those good old days didn't move us into the kingdom of God. Family, do you understand that? There is no such thing as the good old days. God is moving His people. And we cannot go backwards. And we must not desire to go backwards. Because if backwards were right, we wouldn't be here anymore. We're going forward. We're going onward and upward. Only at the throne of grace. Only by the blood of Jesus. My church's future is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I can be a member of this family. Receive forgiveness. Ask forgiveness. I can grow in this church family. I can know Christ in this family. I can be an instrument of influence in this family. Because, my brothers and sisters, this morning, we face tremendous, tremendous evil right upon our doorstep. Right at our very door. I want you to read with me verse 29 of Hebrews chapter 10. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You see, family, we get so wrapped up in what we know. And do you realize that what we know for the most part is what we've been born into? That if you've only known Seventh-day Adventist Christian Church, that so often we who are Seventh-day Adventist Christians are culturally Christians. Don't you understand that? What makes us different from being born a Muslim or a Hindu or a Baptist? Of course you and I know that God has entrusted us with His Word and light to that Word. But family, we need the blood of Jesus for salvation. There can be no other salvation. The Sabbath does not save Seventh-day Adventist Christians. Paying tithe cannot save Seventh-day Adventist Christians. But we will worship on the seventh-day Sabbath because Jesus has asked us to. And we will pay our tithe because He has asked us to. And don't you see, our love to God is revealed most surely in our obedience to His Word. But we must not ever fall into the snare that what we do can save us. And so often we come to the place in our walk with Jesus Christ where we are resistant and reluctant and resigned Christians. We will not have that personal, passionate, intimate relationship, even though there is a future with this God that far outweighs, it's much more than we can ask for, or even imagine. A future with a living God. We'd rather spend our future here. And God wants us to know that we are in grave danger, family. Excuse me. Because the world today wants to be good. Do you know how many good people there are out there in the world doing good things that do not call Jesus Lord and Savior? There are many, many, many good people, and we should praise God for them. But He says, trust in Me with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Me. That's the difference. God's children, God's family, they acknowledge Him. He is God, Creator, Redeemer, Savior, best and heavenly friend. Much more, He's the lover of our souls. And today, in the year 2008, when you and I, oh, my family, sometimes I just want to explode. Because I know that God loves this church and He will love her to the end. But if we, as His people, will not rise up and be obedient to Him, then He will surely choose another, as we have seen historically. He is God. And He is in the business of saving souls, not of looking good. He's not in show business. We're not supposed to be museum pieces. He's a real God for really broken people. How many of us will come and be broken at the cross of Calvary today, you see? 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power, from such turn away. Paul tells us in Romans 1:16 and 17, the gospel, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. You see, we can't be moved from Jesus. If today you're self-reflecting and looking at your walk with the Lord and seeing that you are very subtly taking this move from Jesus Christ, the blood of forgiveness, the blood that makes us family, the blood that promises for us a future, you must stop everything and go to that Jesus today. Because I tell you, family, we are coming to evil times, much more evil than we can ever think of. I want to read to you in closing something that I found in the advertiser on Sabbath, April 12. And now Christ encounters of the third kind. Deepak Chopra reinterprets gospel as a state of mind. Before he became known for promoting holistic health and spirituality, Deepak Chopra practiced Western medicine as an endocrinologist in Boston. By the way, how many of you have heard of Deepak Chopra? He's a well-known writer. He eventually turned to the centuries-old Indian system of Ayurveda to find a balance of faith and science. I wanted to extend... Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I wanted to extend my idea of healing, Chopra said in a recent interview. If you don't understand spiritual experience, you'll never understand healing. That is true. That, my family, is true. But watch how the enemy moves truth and error together. Castle Medical Center believes in the total healing, mind, body, spirit. That is biblical, Christ healing touch on the whole man. But this is not Christ. It's a form of godliness denying the power of Jesus, a living God with real blood who died for real people who need a real blood transfusion. Do you understand that, family? And so Dr. Chopper says, now at 61, the physician and best-selling author hopes to extend conventional thought again, even more controversially. In The Third Jesus, this is his latest book, The Third Jesus, the Christ We Cannot Ignore, Chopra challenges Christian doctrine while presenting an alternative Jesus as a state of mind rather than the historical rabbi of Nazareth, the Son of God. The third perspective, which Chopra calls a cosmic Christ, looks at Jesus as a spiritual guide whose teaching embraces all humanity. That is right. Jesus is our spiritual guide. His teaching embraces all humanity. Watch how the devil moves with truth and error, you see, family. Chopra argues that Christ speaks to the individual who wants to find God as a personal experience. That's true. It's true. I said to myself, why not write a book that takes Jesus' teachings, and it doesn't matter if you're Christian or not, and learn from this and improve your life. My book is about Jesus as a state of consciousness. If I can aspire, maybe not achieve, but aspire to be in that state of mind, and if a lot of people were aspiring to be in that state of mind, this would be a better world. That's true, family! The only problem with that is that God has not promised in His Word for this to be a better world. He says, behold, I make all things new. I make all things new. This world will pass away. We must acknowledge Christ as our Redeemer and our Savior. He is our Creator. Yes, we're really good at keeping the seventh-day Sabbath, but family, He has bought us with a great price. His blood, the blood of Jesus. The Sabbath cannot save us, or any commandment for that matter. It's Christ and His blood. Christ alone. Christ Jesus. My Jesus. Your Jesus, family, this morning. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Just a couple days ago, I met Mary. I got a call down in my office. It says, somebody's down here really angry. She wants to talk to the president. I get those calls from time to time. And I know that the president cannot talk to all of those people. And I praise God because He has a plan here, family. Don't you see? God is moving. He's living. He's working, not just in our hospital, but in your workplace. He's moving in our church. He's moving down our streets. And I say, Holy Spirit, come now to give wisdom, courage, and strength. So I said, I'll be right down. I went into the lobby, and there was Mary. Mary was an elderly woman walking with a cane. She said, I am so angry. I came to this hospital, and I had to have an x-ray, and I had to walk there, to there, to there. And anyway, she says, I'm angry at my doctor, too. So don't feel bad, because I'm not only angry at you, I'm angry at him. And today I'm cutting all my children out of the will, and even my grandchildren. And she said, my attorney will be contacting your attorney. Now in my heart, family, I know Mary is not, she's out there, isn't she? When you can move from walking to imaging services to cutting all your kids out of their will, something is wrong with Mary that has nothing to do with a chest x-ray. Mary is in deep pain. She is hurting. And I listened to Mary and I let her vent. And we came to the end of our discussion, and Mary, she was waiting for actually somebody in medical records to bring her a document. And she said, I've been here forever. And I said to the person at the information desk, was there somebody here to help Mary with that? And she said, yes. How long has she been gone? 10 minutes. Mary, 10 minutes is not forever. But you see, family, this is how we get right here in life, burdened, so overwhelmingly filled with sorrow. And they were sleeping. The disciples were sleeping because of sorrow. And so medical records came back, handed her the documents. She sat there. She said, well, thank you. Thank you for getting that. I know it took you not as long as I thought. And Mary was still angry. She says, but I'll never come back here. What's your name? She kept asking my name. What's your name? Michelle. I'll never come back here, Michelle. Never. And I'll tell all my friends never to come back here. And then the Holy Spirit came to me and he said, Michelle, hold out the word of life. There isn't anything you can give Mary that will make her feel better today. Nothing. Zero. Zero in your humanness to give her. Zero. Give her Christ. And I said, Mary, can I offer you something? And she said, no, nothing. And before she could keep talking, I said, Mary, can I offer you a prayer? And I want to tell you that Mary's face collapsed. And she squeezed her eyes shut and the tears rolling down. And she grabbed my hand and she said, yes, yes. Family, today, that's what stained disciples do. They know they're forgiven. They know their family. They know their future is in Jesus Christ. And we can only hold out the word of life. Not just the word that spoke creation into existence. He's powerful. Not just the word written on black and white on these pages. It's powerful. But the word that became flesh and blood and lived and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth this morning. How about you, family, this morning? How about we run to Jesus this morning? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for who? For me. And that you bid me come to thee. This morning I want to invite you to stand up, to move across the aisle, and hold your family's hand. You don't have to make a circle. You just move across the aisle. If somebody doesn't have a hand to hold, hold that hand, family, today. Wahiwa Seventh-day Adventist Christian Church, you have blessed me this morning because I've seen the Lord moving in and among you. I've heard you testify and praise him. Bless the Lord this morning. Squeeze that hand gently, but firmly, so they know you're there. So they know their family. Their family. From the little ones to the middle ones to the older ones, we're family. Now, where's that hand go? To an arm? Where else? Shoulder? Where else? She skipped to the other side. Neck? Head? Heart? What's on that head, family? What's on the head? Hair. What else? Eyes, nose, mouth. There's a face. Look at me, Sheila. What color are my eyes?
Brown.
You look at somebody and look at them till you know the color of their eyes. Brown eyes. I can do this in Fiji and there are no blue eyes. I can do it in Norway and there are no brown eyes. We're family. We're family. This is what Jesus died for. You're looking for Jesus in your church? Then look into this face. There's Jesus Christ. Look into this face. There's Jesus Christ. He died for us. Why should we fill our hands with emptiness of this world and not take up this humanity that Christ died for? Why shouldn't we take this humanity all the way to the second coming of Jesus Christ and more? So that our arms are full with people, family, today. Wahiwa Seventh-day Adventist Christian Church, you belong to Jesus. And He belongs to You this morning. Beloved Father, this morning I praise You. Take us up as Your children, Lord. You forgave us. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, cleanse us of the little I am. Swallow up that small I am. Dear Jesus, You made us family. Thank You, Jesus. Now, because we are sons, we have the spirit of sonship. Praise You, Jesus. Beloved Father, You are our future. No matter how dismal it looks today, how foggy, how out of focus our world can become, we know that You see very clearly, that Your eyes search to and fro this planet, looking for those hearts that will open to You. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, beloved God, forgive us where we have failed You. Help us enlarge our hearts to be a bigger family, more family. Oh, dear Jesus, let us be Your future. How can we help You, Lord? How can we hold You and heal You, Lord? How can we bless You, dear Jesus? We will be Your future, God. Thank You, Lord. Beloved God, this morning, bless us as we sing together, just as I am, Lord. Bless us and seal us in the blood of Jesus Christ. Sing it, family. Out one plea, but that thy blood, there you go, was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee. Family, give somebody a big Sabbath hug and tell them they belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to them. Praise God.
Please be seated until the deacons usher you outside. Can the congregation stand for a word of prayer, please?